Just over a week ago, I arrived at Beirut International Airport in the early hours of the morning and went straight to bed. By the time I awoke, the runway I'd touched down on just a few hours earlier had been reduced to rubble. Within days, large parts of Lebanon went the same way. Within weeks, the political and geographical landscapes seemed to have shifted indelibly. Jim Muir reported from Lebanon throughout the country's civil war of the 1970s and 80s, and had recently returned to Beirut to live. He was getting ready to move into a new apartment when the crisis erupted, and he asked me in his usual unflappable manner whether I was likely to need an extra pair of hands in the days ahead. It's perhaps an understatement to say that Jim and I have a history together. We worked as a team during the Iraq War of 2003, roaming across the Kurdish areas of the north while we prepared for a possible dash to Baghdad after Saddam Hussein's regime had been toppled. But our work together came to an abrupt end when I stepped on a hidden anti-personnel landmine while we were filming an abandoned Iraqi trench dug into a grassy hill. I lost my leg below the knee in the accident. Our cameraman, the Iranian photojournalist Kaveh Golestan, lost his life. Back in Britain, doctors decided my leg was too badly damaged to be saved, and over the months that followed, I came to terms with the loss of my limb and the reality of life with an artificial leg. My apprehension at being back in a war zone diminished when Jim sauntered into the Beirut office, grinning broadly. I phoned my wife Aileen, who's 5 months pregnant, and told her that Jim and I were working together once more. "Just don't go wandering into any minefields with him again," she scolded, "and make sure you're back for the birth." Over the last week, I've watched the hopes of a generation of Lebanese people collapse. It's supposed to be the height of the tourist season here. Hotel owners were looking forward to their best year yet. When I was growing up, Lebanon's civil war was a familiar scene on the nightly television news bulletins. People would often describe a place that looked especially decrepit as being like Beirut. In recent years, Lebanon has tried hard to put that image of conflict and kidnappings behind it. Glossy brochures promoting the chic boutiques and attractions of Roman-built Baalbek or 18th-century Betadine are still scattered on the coffee tables of Beirut's smart new international hotels. But I doubt they'll be seeing many visitors now. The chic boutiques are locked and shuttered, the hotel lobbies populated only by a few exhausted Lebanese, smoking and watching with disbelief as the latest attacks on their country are broadcast live on Arabic news channels. The bombardment of Beirut's southern suburbs, just a few kilometres away, can be heard across the city. Lebanon has recovered from conflict before, and there's still hope of a diplomatic breakthrough. But even if an early solution to the current crisis is found, the extensive damage already inflicted to Lebanon's infrastructure and its international reputation will blight it for years to come. Will it end soon? Do you think it will? Is the question I'm asked daily when I visit the few shops and cafes in Beirut that are still open for business. I wish I could say yes. Just over 3 years ago, when I was first learning to walk again, using the artificial leg that now attracts quizzical stares from the few people left on Beirut's streets, I couldn't even bear to look at it. It seemed to symbolize everything I lost when that landmine exploded in northern Iraq. But over time, the feeling of revulsion slowly faded. Life returned to normal, and attaching a prosthesis made of metal and carbon fiber to the end of my leg every morning didn't seem so strange anymore. A few days ago I wore a pair of shorts, and my artificial leg was very visible. I was walking from my hotel when a car screeched to a halt beside me. The driver jumped out, and I held my breath. "How did you lose your leg?" he asked. "A landmine in Iraq," I replied. He reached down, rolled up one of his trouser legs, and showed me his artificial leg. "Meet his older brother," my fellow mine survivor cried. Even during the most desperate times, hope, humanity, and even humour always return, eventually.